stumbled and fell, that a host should encamp against me. And he goes on to say, I will remain confident in this, that I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. You missed it. That I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. I look forward to heaven, but there's some blessings I'm expecting down here. I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Hallelujah. We praise God for rejoice. They blessed us for sure, for sure. Amen. Amen. Is that on the CD? Will I be able to hear that if I get the CD? If I get the CD or the DVD, will I be able to hear that? No. No. No, that's okay. I'm going to start recording services on my phone because I need to listen to that. Amen. Amen. We praise God for Minister Woods and all who led us in worship. Amen. And don't forget, on our fourth Sunday, we're going to celebrate 29 years of faithfulness, and we just look forward to another 29 years of faithfulness. Amen. We praise God for these who serve so faithfully. And even we have a Brother Knight on the drums. He is a guest. We thank God for him. And, of course, our own McEwen, we thank God for him. We'd ask that you stand to your feet as, and before you do that, amen, go ahead and sit down real quick. I got to make sure I just, amen. If at any point you served in the military, we just want to honor you. Just stand for a moment so we can give you a thunderous applause. There's one. There's another one. Come on. No, seriously. Come on now. Woo! Amen. If you're near those brothers, just touch them on the shoulder and say thank you. Thank you for your service. Thank you for your service. We don't take it for granted. We celebrate you for all that you did for us, for this country. Amen. To make us what we are, we praise God for your sacrifice, for the wounds that you endured for us. Amen. We are grateful. Amen. Let us stand to our feet for the reading of the word. We are continuing in a series that deals with the reality of spiritual warfare. And for that, we have looked at Paul's writing, particularly the scripture in which he says, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against rulers, against powers in dark places. So on today, I'm calling your attention to 2 Timothy. It should be in your bulletin as well. We praise God. Amen. For those who helped with the bulletin, that was great, wonderful. Praise God. Amen. And I know that we have various ministry leaders here, and so I want to call you to Minister McKinney. Amen. He's handling the webpage, and so if your ministry does not have its appropriate information, you need to get it to him as soon as possible. Amen. 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 And praise God. I think there was a mistake. Somebody had mixed up the marriage ministry with the prison ministry. Amen. That was just a mistake. Just a joke. Amen. Come on, y'all got to learn to laugh. Amen. I'm just kidding. Amen. I was just kidding. Amen. 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 It said marriage ministry, those who are on lockdown. Amen. 2 Timothy. I'm sorry. I like to laugh. Please forgive me if you don't like to laugh. If you don't like to laugh, just forgive me. Amen. Spurgeon said laughter is not a sin. Amen. Amen. He said he preferred laughter over boredom. Amen. 2 Timothy chapter 2. And I do want to acknowledge those who were at the leadership meeting on yesterday. It was wonderful, refreshing. I was blessed by it. We'll be having another one second Saturday. And you're missing out if you're not there. We have some great teachers, instructors. You will be encouraged and you will be blessed. Amen. I saw some new members there and that blessed my soul. 2 Timothy, you've had enough time to find it, so I'm going to read it. 2 Timothy, beginning at chapter 2, verses 3. And I'm going to read all the way through 6. And it reads just like this. Thou, therefore, endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Thou, therefore, endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No one that warreth entangleth themselves with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. And if a man also strives for masteries, yet he is not crowned except he strives lawfully. husbandman that laboreth must be first partaker of the fruits. Verse 3 again. Thou therefore, repeat after me, endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Amen. You may be seated. You may be seated. Amen. Let us pray. God, afresh we confess we need your Holy Spirit to speak to us, God. There are some distractions that would keep us from hearing from you, God. Whatever those are, God, we, in the name of Jesus, ask that we might see past and through them to seeing you, God. We're not here just to hear from some preacher or even our pastor. We're here to hear from the Lord. We need a word from heaven, God. Even I, Lord, we need a word from heaven. Bless, Lord, through your word. Bless in proclamation as you've blessed in preparation. We thank you in advance. Solo Deo Gloria. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We are now discussing spiritual warfare. And so on last week, we started looking at the reality that you are at war, that we are in a spiritual fight, that all that we see is not all that is. There is so much more happening. In fact, if we're not careful, we will be overtaken and undertaken because we will forget that we are at spiritual war. We said, this is the reality, Deacon Bailey, this is the reality of war. But on today, we're moving from the reality of war to, Sister Satal, the mentality of spiritual warfare. The mentality of spiritual warfare. Paul writes, and he instructs his son in the ministry in direct form, that if he's going to be successful, if he's going to be a good soldier, that he has to have a certain mentality. And this mentality, Sister Lavelle, is a mentality of warfare. This mentality is a mentality of hardness, of toughness, of suffering. Okay, y'all not feeling me. They were called the 369th Infantry. The 369th Infantry was from New York. They were in World War I. A group of African-American warriors. They had trained through boot camp. They were given harsh experiences. More than other soldiers, they were made to do things that you wouldn't normally do as a soldier. They were mistreated. They were pushed around. They didn't even get proper uniforms and proper weaponry. But after boot camp, they were excited because they knew after all that suffering, now they would be able to fight for their lives. They would be able to fight to show the world that they deserve the same treatment as any other man. They were prepared. They were fighting to die, only to find out as soon as they finished this hard boot camp that the work that they were going to be doing was cleaning toilets, cleaning latrines, loading ships, digging holes and filling them up. Just brutal, not physically, but brutal mentally. They were being mistreated even more. Years went by and all they wanted was to be sent to lines to fight for their country. They wanted to prove to the world who they were. They wanted to prove they were man. Well, after a while, the U.S. government decided, well, we're not going to let you fight here, but we'll send you to France and you can fight under the French military. Now, this was a great insult. This was not a compliment, but it was a slap in the face. Not just a front hand, but a backhand. I mean, this was a great insult. But when they got to France, they made up in their mind that instead of focusing on all the rights of their indignation, that they would focus on their confrontation, which would result in an exaltation. They said, if we fight well, then there'll be no way that anybody can say that we're not great soldiers. And in fact, they became the only regiment that at no time was turned. They fought so well that they changed their name in history. And no longer called the 369th, they're now called Harlem Hellfighters. The Harlem, look them up when you get home, the Harlem Hellfighters became known because they would fight so hard, they would fight so tough that no one could explain. In fact, some of them, they were the enemy called them Black Death. When they saw these black soldiers, they said, oh my God, that's Black Death. They had the right kind of mentality to be in this and that kind of fight. And I've come by to talk to you, maybe your neighbor, tap him on the shoulder real quick, help me out. Tap him on the shoulder, there you go. Tell him, you gotta have that kind of mentality. Everything won't be easy. Everything won't be comfortable. Everything won't be with ease and nice and to your pleasure. You are at war. In fact, this is a spiritual war. You can expect some discomfort. You can expect some hurt. You can expect some harm. You can expect some insults. You can expect something not going your way. That's to be expected. So Timothy writes to his son in the ministry. And I should tell you, his son in the ministry, Timothy, was appointed as pastor. And Paul would be, if you will, the bishop. One of the challenges that Timothy had is some say he was a little timid. He didn't like to fight a whole lot. I mean, it really got bad. Paul had to give him some advice. Paul said, look, man, in his letter, he said, look, you need to stop just drinking water. You need to drink a little wine because you're tripping, man. You drink a little wine for your stomach. You're always upset. You need something to calm you. He did. I'm in the Bible. You need something to calm you down. But more and more, he became more emphatic in dealing with his son in the ministry, Timothy. He tries to press the claim that you got to expect this hardship. I know they're mistreating you. I know they're talking about you. I know folk are gossiping on you. I know no matter what you do, somebody's got something to say. That's okay. You need to expect this. And he presses it and presses it so much that when he writes this final letter and he's, Paul is expecting now to die. You see, Nero had taken over, and Nero was known for killing the Christians. The Christians said they were a light to the world, so he decided he would turn them into candles, and he was using Christians as candles, literally. Nero was absolutely crazy, and so now Paul knew his time was at hand. You remember before, Paul would say, I see us arriving safely on the island. Paul doesn't say anything like that in this letter. In fact, Paul says something very differently. He said, I fought the good fight. He said, I kept the course. He said, I've been faithful even unto death. And then he says, and now there is laid up for me a crown for my suffering. And all I'm trying to say, this letter is written not just to Timothy, but it's written to Shiloh because we need to expect some suffering. I know it was cold outside, but that's just a little suffering. I know somebody didn't smile at you when you walked in, but that's just a little suffering. I know something didn't go right, or you didn't like this, or that song wasn't your song, or maybe you didn't get the solo. I'm not trying to start no trouble, but you got to expect some suffering. That's suffering goes with the ministry of warfare. That if you're going to be at war, then you need to expect to struggle. You need to expect to be a soldier. Have you ever looked at a soldier, ladies? You can look at a soldier and tell they're a soldier because they're tough, because they're formed for the fight, because they are ready for battle. And this is the expectation for every good soldier. In fact, the text is tailored to teach us, and I want to look at enduring before we looked at the reality, and now I want to look at the enduring mentality that is required for the suffering, for the soldier. First, the mentality that is required for the soldier, it's a mentality of lasting. Would you say lasting? Let's say it one more time. There you go. It's the idea that I'm not going to quit. Mm-hmm. It's the idea that as a soldier, I don't have the option of saying I'm done for the day. It's the idea that I don't determine when my battle is over or where the war is won. It's the idea that I don't quit until they're dead or we're dead. I will not quit. I'm on the battlefield for my Lord. It's the idea that I'm in it and I cannot quit. I will not quit. There's nothing you can do to stop me. I'm determined to fight this fight. Yeah, I'm always down for the cause, but I'm never down for the count. I will not quit. Is the mentality. It's a mentality of lasting. And I don't want to cause offense, but in the modern day church, we're suffering from a mentality of quitting. That all across the country, particularly the United States of America, people will quit serving the Lord, quit being part of a church for any and every reason. Why'd you stop going? They changed the time of service. Can you believe that? After 15 years, they changed the they stopped using the King James Version. We've been using the King James Version since 1899. People will quit for any and every cause. It's a pandemic. Not just an epidemic, it's a pandemic. People find every reason to quit. They forget that the devil is feeding them any and every reason. The devil is laughing and saying, did you see how easy I got their attention? I was sharing with our leaders that over the years I've discovered there are three major causes for what I'll call transitions, quitting. First is drifting. That is, it's the natural and normal tendency to stop doing something that requires some discipline. It's drifting. But then there is, I'll call it sifting. And this is very different. This is when God does something to move someone to a different place at a different time. It's often hard for those who remain in times of sifting because we have to say goodbye to those we love. There's drifting, there's sifting, but then there's also rifting. That's when there is a fight. Something doesn't go the way you want it to go. And you're all upset, they take their toys and run. It's dangerous when we as Christians have a mentality that says we can leave whenever we want because it's not God's way. And it's antithetical to being a soldier. You see, anytime a soldier leaves anywhere at any time without proper permission, he's what you call AWOL. That means they're absent without leave. You know, you'll be incarcerated for going AWOL, absent without leave. You meet a shorty somewhere and you decide you want to get married and you're supposed to get on the ship and go to your next assignment, but you say, oh no, I got to get married. You are arrested for being absent without leave. Now the first one I said was drifting. Jesus talks about this in Matthew chapter 13 in the Bible. He talks about that there's a sower, the imagery of someone sowing seeds, and that's a symbol of the relationship and the relationship depth that we're to have with God. And he says, as he's sowing seeds, Jesus in Matthew chapter 13, that birds come along and eat up some of these seeds. Then he says the sun comes along and dries up some of these seeds. Then he says some of these seeds fall on rocks. He's saying basically that whenever there is a shallow relationship, there'll be some drifting. When there's a lack of depth, there'll be some drifting. When it was all feeling, when it was all burning, when it was all excitement, but there was no depth of spirit, soul, mind, and body, then there'll be some drifting. Because when there's some depth, you don't make decisions only on how you feel, but you make decisions on what you know to be right. Because sometimes what you feel is not right. You don't have to confess, you don't have to testify, but every now and then you'll feel something for somebody and it's just not right. That's drifting. We talked about sifting, and that's when the Lord does it. But then there's rifting, and Paul experienced this. Paul experienced this in many ways. He had some conflicts. I remember one of them was with Mark. He had some conflict with a family member, a friend of a family member, and so they went their separate ways. And if you're not careful, every little thing will cause us to stop doing what God called us to do. So we have to decide early on that we made up in our mind that we are not going. We have to decide early on that there is nothing that will deter us. There is nothing that will turn us. We are determined to do what God has called us to do. That has to be the mentality of the believer, that nothing can stop me. like a bulldog. I don't know if you've ever known a bulldog. I was bitten by a bulldog as a boy. I really was. I was running across the street, and the bulldog was coming after me. I dodged cars because I didn't want the bulldog to get me. It got me. And the problem with bulldogs is their jaws lock. Well, in very real sense, that ought to be how Christian mentality is. We ought to have a lock-in mentality, that once we are locked on and loaded, nothing, Nehemiah, nothing will keep us and nothing will stop us. First, it's a lasting mentality, but it's not just a lasting mentality, it's a laboring mentality. Would you say laboring? Labor connotates the mentality of something being hard. If you've got a desk job where you stamp papers and you review numbers, that's not considered a labor-intensive job. Labor-intensive means it's a lot of struggle. It's a lot of pushing. I don't want to cause any offense, especially to my wife, but if you're pregnant, then you know that you're expecting to go into labor. You're expecting some hardship. You're expecting some hurt. And that's what Paul is describing. In fact, he uses the word to labor. It means to push against something hard. It means to endure hurt in your pushing. It means to give all of your energy to do what must be done. It's labor. It's not easy. It's labor. My grandfather helped raise me, and he had this big backyard. He worked in construction, but he had a huge garden in the back. I shouldn't even call it a garden. It was more like a farm. I mean, and every now and then he would drive over to our house on a Saturday morning, and he would literally snatch us out of bed. He would snatch us out of bed and say, "Get in my car." We still in our sleep clothes. He said, "That's all right. Get in the car. Put some shoes on." And he would have us work for hours in the backyard. Every now and then one of us would say, "Well, I got to go to the bathroom." He said, "You got the whole backyard." He lost one eye in construction and he never had it checked out. He was such an intense and hard man. He was so hard, and one of the things he would say to my mother, he said, "Well, since their father's not here anymore, somebody has to make them tough. Somebody has to let them know what it takes to be a man. And so since their father's not here, I'm going to make them tough." One time there was a disagreement between he and my brother, and I'll never forget how he spanked. Forgive me, how he beat my brother. My brother ran out that room and he got in the car and chased him down and spanked him all the way to the house. He was such a hard man. Come here, can I talk to you for a minute? Can I talk to you that God is saying that in order to be in this spiritual warfare, you got to be a little harder. You got to be a little tougher. You got to be a little stronger. You got to be a little rougher. You got to have a mentality that says, "I'm here to labor. I'm here to fight. I'm here with intensity. I'm here with a little bit of anger. I'm in this thing with passion." You can't be passive. And talking to Timothy, he said, "Timothy, no, you got to be in this thing to fight, Timothy. This is a fight. It's laboring. It's lasting. It's laboring." But then he says there has to be some leaving, because he says no man who's a good soldier entangles himself in the things of the world. That word entangles, we get the word weave from it. You know, we get the word weave from it. It's the idea of binding things together. And he's really saying that some things can't be bound together. That if you are a believer in Jesus Christ, there are some things that you shouldn't be caught up in. I know I'm mixing metaphors, but if you're familiar with basketball, then you're familiar with the Ball family. The Ball family is this young family, and they got all these great sons who are in basketball. And one of them just recently went all the way to China to play basketball. He's all the way in China to play basketball. He's a superstar. His brother's playing for the Lakers. I mean, he's doing really well. They got their own TV show. He's a superstar. He's in China to play basketball. Well, while in China to play basketball, guess what? He goes to the store with two of his friends, and they go shoplifting in China. For the record, they're still in China. Yeah. Because they got entangled with stuff that they shouldn't have been entangled with. The picture here is that as believers, we shouldn't be entangled in confusion. We shouldn't be entangled in sin. There's some stuff you shouldn't even be involved in. The word is found throughout the Bible, but especially in the Old Testament. In fact, when Jesus was leading the Israelites, it says that he allowed Pharaoh's army to become entangled when they were going after Israel. It's the idea that you become entrapped, you become lost, or you become stuck somewhere where you shouldn't be. It has to do with your mentality. It has to do with how you think about the world and thus how you engage in the world. And all too often in our minds, we become entangled because we allow stuff in the world to get in our head. I know I'm preaching. We allow the world to get in our head. I heard the story of a soldier. He was an officer in the military. He was an officer in the military, and his wife took care of all the worldly needs. I mean, she took care of everything, and he didn't worry about a single thing except for the military. That was his focus. And so he was coming home from war, but as he was coming home from war, he knew that his wife had purchased the family a new home. And his wife sent him all the information. He looked at the home. He was excited about the home, but he was at war, so he didn't remember all that stuff. And so as he was getting off the plane, he couldn't remember. Where should I have the taxi take me to? I don't know where my new home is. So, oh man, I'm in trouble. So he gets in the taxi and he gives them their old home address. The taxi pulls up in front of his old home, and there on the steps is one of his sons. And he says, son, what are you doing here at our old home? And he said, well, mom knew that you wouldn't remember where we live because she knew that your focus had been elsewhere. So I'm here to show you our new home. In a very real sense, your focus as a believer should be so much further on your new on war that you don't worry about earthly things. Your focus should be on higher things. And when we focus on higher things, we can trust God to handle the other things because we are focused on those things that are spiritual. We've got a mentality that says, I am focused on the things of God. And the text concludes in verse 6 by saying that when you do this, you will be the first partaker of the fruit. That when you do this, that you will be the first one to receive the special blessing. And I want to let you know in all honesty that God says that he has a special blessing for those who war right. In fact, it's called the crown of suffering. That when you decide that you're going to suffer for the cause, when you decide that you're going to get some scars for the kingdom, when you decide that you're going to do something that's not easy, that's not comfortable, that others may not agree with, but God has called you to, there's a special reward for the kingdom. I told you about Harlem Hellfighters. And one of them's name was Henry Johnson. Henry Johnson was a private. And after he had done all this work in toilets, after he had done all this work digging holes, after he had done all this laboring, he finally made it to France. And when he got to France, he and two others were placed in a ditch. And they were placed there to build a wire and to keep the enemy at bay. And they said, you're a stop along the way. As long as you are here, no enemy spies should be able to get behind you. And so there they were, just the two of them in a ditch. Well, one night, somebody came along and they heard some snapping. The wires, the barbed wires that kept the enemy out was being cut. And so now Henry Johnson, this soldier, he decides we're under attack and he begins to fight. Well, history tells us that Henry Johnson fought all night. The man next to him got injured right on. Early on, he couldn't help. So Henry Johnson was fighting. He was shooting and shooting. But then he put the wrong bullets in his gun. He had a French gun and an American bullet, so he couldn't. So he starts fighting now with the butt of his gun. He's fighting all night with the butt of his gun. But finally, he starts fighting with a knife. Early that next morning, he's injured. He's injured all over his body. He's injured. He's been shot in his foot. He's injured. He can barely move. But historians say that he killed at least 4 soldiers, but he fought more than 35. This one man fought, history says, 35 foreign soldiers. He stayed his ground and he fought 35 foreign soldiers. So much so that when he got back to France, they had to give him a special heart from the queen. And the special heart said that you had fought with all your might, that you had fought with all your heart. Well, come here. The Bible says that you're not going to receive a heart. We've already got a new heart. But the Bible says in Revelation chapter 2 that you won't receive a heart, but you will receive receive a crown. There is a special crown laid up for those who suffer. Yes, it is. It's the crown of enduring. When you decide that you will endure for the master says, I've got a special reward for you because you went above, because you did more, because you gave it your all, because you refused to quit. Even when you were hurt, you kept on fighting. Even when they talked about you, you kept on fighting. Even when you wanted to do wrong, you kept on fighting. Even when they lied on you, you kept on fighting. He says, there's a special crown laid up for you, and I want my crown. I want to have a crown that says, I fought the fought. I kept on going. I didn't throw in the towel. I didn't wait for others, but I stepped out in faith, even when it was difficult, even when it seemed impossible. You kept on going. That's the goal, to have the mentality that says, I will not quit, come hell or high water.